What do you call a lesbian that makes muffins? Well, I would call her a stud muffin. Nope, that was a big old milk dud. Well, at least I didn't keep it in my pants. Nothing's worse than when you're squatting and you feel like a milk dud has entered the premises. It's almost like a school shooting, except, you know, one gets evacuation a little bit quicker than the other. yeah, I love these rabbit holes of watching people get arrested. It's kind of satisfying, you know, because you really see the lunacy of people. I actually watched something where a guy was pleasuring himself inside of a Walmart, specifically in the women's garment section. And, you know, I'll be honest. Was he touching himself to the actual Walmart garments? Maybe the prices. Certainly wasn't the ladies around, I can tell you that. but I don't know, you know. I just don't get the whole touching yourself thing, you know. You know, I've never touched myself in public. Well, at least unconsensually. well, so wait. If you're at a public park and you're touching yourself, is it more of a crime to touch yourself on private property, even if you weren't consented to be on that private property? So, like, let's say you're trespassing on private property. Is it an extra charge because you were touching yourself on private property? Or is it worse to touch yourself in public property? Either way, you know, just don't touch. Can't touch this. oh, but they certainly can. Yeah, so it's like taking a tricycle down the interstate, you know? You can swerve, you can curve, but boy, some of them like the hors d'oeuvres. oh, yep, welcome to Winnipeg, because my hockey stick is ready to say, what the puck? oh, yeah, it's quite a bit going on out here. You know, we just have this weird, there's just a lot of weird people out here. You know, actually, I came across someone today. I was sitting behind them in line. I'm not joking. This person had two phones in their back pocket. And I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah, this person has a reason to have two phones, you know, business and personal. Then I was looking at the guy. I'm like, I don't feel like this guy's got much of a business, to be honest with you. He's pulling out change, you know, when you start pulling out exact change to pay for stuff and you're down a few cents and they actually like, we'll just take you out of the tip jar. You probably don't own a business. But my thing was, he had two phones and you weren't on either of them. If you're able to have two phones in your pocket and you're not on one of them, you're probably not that busy of a guy or gal. And then, you know, I don't know, you know, those are big boy problems. I'm just trying to get one phone. I got two phones, and yeah, you know, I also realized Glorilla, she sounds like Kevin Gates. Like, it's kind of sad. Like, she looks like she got like the JT teeth. Like, the teeth procedure. I'm not sure if she got a teeth procedure, but she talks like she got a teeth procedure. And, she got teeth in the game, alright. I've actually never listened to a Glorilla song. But if I did, I'm sure I'd be glowing. And I wonder, is it a play on words for, like, gorilla? Or is it, like, grills that are glowing? I don't know. I do not know the name behind it. But it's kind of weird how she's buying, I think she was buying Nicki Minaj a watch. I'm like, I feel like if anyone's buying a watch, it should probably be Nicki. You know, have that moment for life. I'm sure they both got that good form of, you know, taxes and child protective services because of her spouse. You know, that's what they mean. Their songs about good form is just about having good form and technique for your submission, jujitsu, guillotine. But yeah, I don't know. Yep. You know, I just realized this water is dripping all over the place and it's going to pick up on the audio. But drip, 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 kind of like my style. yep. As Drake would say, I got some pop style. Because, you little weasel. I've been watching a lot of Conor McGregor trash talk. I gotta say, that man really did carry the UFC promotion. You know, sometimes in real time, you don't realize someone's impact on something until they're far removed from it, and you see the result of them not being a part of something, and you're like, oh, this dude really did, like, elevate the UFC to, like, a whole nother marketable level with everything he did. Like, and I think a lot of that promotion stuff is cheesy with this celebrity boxing, YouTuber boxing. Like, it feels forced, the promotion. They're just, like, everyone there, the, like, the build-up, the fight. But honestly, no one's buying pay-per-view because you shit on some guy's mom. No one's buying that shit. Like, everyone knows, like, most of it's not real. It's just to make stuff feel more interesting than it is. But Conor McGregor, at least, like, it felt like when he was saying something, it really did feel like he was calling that guy a fucking weasel. Pop goes the weasel. And his leg is still popping out of place. Yep. But who knows, you know. He keep the touching to a minimum. Touch and go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But you know what? You know what they say. For every ostrich that's astray, there's a cat that is, you know, ruffling a few feathers. Specifically cheddar and sour cream. Chips. Ahoy. Cause, woo. Yep. Alright, welcome to episode 273 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Recording this on April 4th, 8:48 p.m. Eastern for the archives, 2024. 4/4/24. Damn, I just realized that. 4 times 4 equals 16. And 4 plus 4 equals 8. 16 plus 8 equals 24. So, there's some quick math for you. Glad to keep your brain rotting. Or thriving. You know? Or just write a hit piece on you like Andrew Huberman. You know? Only one of the most famous neuroscientists. And you know what's crazy to me? So, they went out of this way to write this hit piece. Essentially saying, oh, this man, you know, apparently he was, like, correlating with multiple different women at a time, even though he wasn't with anyone, per se. The funniest part was, he canceled last minute on a Thanksgiving with a girl because he had to timestamp his podcast. That's one of the craziest things of although I could relate to canceling on things because you got to timestamp your podcast. I was like, man, this man's really committed, you know? that is kind of crazy. Be like, hey, you know, I'm sure your mother's a nice lady, but, you know, I got to talk about cold plunges and timestamp 37 minutes and 42 seconds about the importance of cold plunging. The deadly habits of when you don't do shit the first 30 minutes when you wake up, you know. And it's really just a single person's account, this New York Times article, about how this one specific woman who he was with is exposing all these things that are not so great about him, about him canceling on things, and they got other accounts of other neuroscientists that he was supposed to meet up with. Like, this guy was so pathetic, not Huberman, but this one guy, he really thought he was doing some shit when he tried to expose this guy of being like, you know, we were supposed to hang out for a few days. Honestly, it sounded like something else was bound to happen, to be honest. I don't know. But it's like, we were supposed to go hiking. We went hiking, but he didn't respond for 18 hours. And then we were supposed to go do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, I went, he would, this man, to hang out with Andrew Huberman, literally spent a whole summer learning how to swim with sharks, getting quote-unquote scuba diving, I guess, license, so he can actually go do, like, some research with him and travel. And then, like, literally the day before, the day of, they were supposed to go do this escapade of swimming with the sharks. Andrew Huberman's like, eh, you know what? I really don't actually want to do that with you. And he's getting this accusation of being flaky, canceling. And I get it. It's not a great look. You shouldn't, especially someone with that much of a time commitment. But at the same time, after you hear a lot of these people talk, you just hear their voice and you're like, you know what? Honestly, all you did was confirm that I would cancel on you too. Because, guys, some of these people are just fucking annoying. Like, it's like you said, I spent all summer learning to scuba dive and swim with the sharks to spend time with them. And they're like, I don't care about his fame. It's like, if you don't care about his fame, then why are you talking publicly about someone because of his fame to try to get at him? I don't know. Seems a little odd. And it seems like a lot of hoops to jump through just to hang out with someone. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and learn to swim with sharks just to, for the next summer or later on that year, to go swimming with some friend. Like, you know, that's something like, you either want to do that, and it doesn't matter if it's with someone or not. If you want to go swim with the sharks, I'm not going to go learn to swim with the sharks just to go swim with the sharks with someone else. Like, if I want to swim with the sharks, I'm going to swim with the sharks, you know? I guess so he could have a shark tail. That's a slap in the face, Oscar. I'm a fool. But yeah, it's a Will Smith. All right, shut up, Clint. Anyways, Lenny. you know what I just realized? So the movie Shark Tale, Lenny, the shark played by Jack Black. It's like they didn't take him serious because he was a lighter skin of a shark. So were they literally discriminating, saying you're not a real shark because he was light skin? I don't know. Sometimes they try to do these deep understories of these just unintentionally entertaining kids films or family films, and somehow they still find a way to make it about something. Even back in those days, but I don't know. But yeah. But you know what? All I gotta say is, I think everyone can relate to what Andrew Huberman, you know? It's like, you know what? You know, sometimes you realize, when you have, like, friends and stuff, and not even friends, but people that just want to be around you because you feel like they benefit from you more than vice versa. And if you're someone who, as big as he is, as successful, like, yeah, it's like, it's kind of weird. It's like, yeah, look, I got shit to do. I got to timestamp this podcast, you know? Man's like, I'm a fucking professor at Stanford. You think I give two shits about the fact that, oh, I'm sorry I didn't give you a 18-hour heads up that I couldn't go hiking with you for a couple hours today. I'm so fucking sorry. Like, suck a dick. Like, And I'm not saying your profession gives you permission to cancel or be quote-unquote flaky. But, you know, it definitely any time someone wants to get too personal about it, like, you know what, get a hobby. You know what, you can do all this shit without me. You can have someone else meet your parents. You can have someone else to swim with. You can literally do anything of these things without me. But for some reason, some person I barely know is going to hold me to a standard that they don't want to hold themselves up to or to other people in their life. I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, it's normal. Like, it's weird that they, like, try to make him this villain all because he was non-committal to all these women and, you know, whatever. And because he was flaky and canceled on things and that he's not this, you know, all amazing. He doesn't handle everything well. He could be selfish. It's like, you know what? It kind of comes with the territory of being at the level of success that comes with that. It's like, when you're, I mean, he's a professor. He has one of the biggest health and fitness podcasts that he spends a lot of detailed research on that takes time into that. He obviously has big control of his podcast because, you know, he's time-stamping that shit. Let me tell you, that's probably like one of the most time-consuming parts of this shit. And then he's like, I'm basically choosing between making a shitload of money or having someone bitch at me because I didn't want to climb the Hollywood, you know, stars with them. And, yeah. And then in a situation like this would just make someone who's has to deal with that shit. And now you're going to make this article defaming my name. If I was him, to be honest, I'll tell you what I would do. If you know who were these quote unquote, you know, my thing is like these women that want to shit on him and these people that want to put all these stories out, that is fine. But why do they get to remain anonymous while shitting on an individual who didn't commit anything illegal? He didn't do anything wrong. He just has some flaws as an individual characteristically, you could say, at worst. And to be honest, I think when you're trying to, someone who contributes so much good, like a lot of people have benefited from his information, his knowledge, bringing stuff to the mainstream that hasn't been on the mainstream like that. Neuroscience, like the intricacies of essentially how the brain operates in unison with behavior. Like that's, I guess, on the genesis what neuroscience is. It's trying to break down the why we do things and the unexplainable and how the neurons react to dopamine hits and all that shit. And you know what? Based off what he teaches, I guess none of y'all really hit his dopamine bell that much. like, he's like, you guys, all I do all day is talk about the ways that the body feels great, the dopamine hits we do. And you know what? If I'm not hanging out with you, maybe that's a sign that you hit nothing for me. You actually, you know, you drain my dopamine. It's not dope. Well, it's dope to be with mean. Huh? No? Okay. Just me. okay. But yeah. But you know what? I think if I was him, I would come out, and this is probably the non-PR thing to do. Because typically, he probably knows who these, I guess, who the few women are that are shitting on him. Like, he probably knows, like, ah, she's the one I canceled on Thanksgiving. So, you know what? Put her name out there. Like, it's not like he's protecting her from a legal case of, like, some tragic that happened. Like, she's shitting on him because he canceled on some Thanksgiving thing. You know? It's a shitty thing to do. But to put that out there in public like that for no reason, I'd be like, hey, just so you know, this is who's doing this shit. And then put all the public attention on them. If you're going to sit here and shit on me for quote unquote being flaky, like if that's the worst thing you could say about me, you know, in that type of, with how much I contribute to society, if the worst thing you say about me is, yeah, I'm a little flaky and you know what, sometimes I don't want to go do this shit with someone I'm not, you know, like, obviously they weren't like that. They didn't live together. They weren't married or even close to being married. So, I don't know. It just, I would just put all these people on fucking blast as a response and be like, hey, this is who said this, this is who said that. Go on their Instagrams, go on their social medias, and not attack them, but hold them accountable for putting this shit out about me, whether it's true or not. Because it's just it really is uncalled for. Like, you are not a victim when you voluntarily put shit out about someone and make a hit piece about someone. Assassinate someone's character for being flaky when we got all this other shit going on about people doing really, really shitty stuff. And you want someone who's contributing really valuable information. Someone who has contributed information that has changed people's lives in a lot of cases. Someone who contributes such a positive impact to mass media, who has essentially brought a field of a knowledge or a field of expertise in science to the mainstream that was not there before, and you want to try to tear down someone when there's people out here doing some of the most heinous shit you could think of. And I don't even have to say that. I mean, it's all out there. But, you know, I don't know. I think it just kind of speaks for itself. But, yeah. Anyways. So, speaking of heinous shit, it's kind of an odd thing. So, apparently, Ashton Kutcher, you know, he wishes he was in a 70s show right now. Because, he wants to turn back the time machine. Because, apparently, being longtime friends with Puff, the magic dragon, is dragging him down. And here's the thing, right? Apparently, there are reports that Ashton Kutcher himself is feared of being dragged into the whole situation. It's like, well, to be honest with you, you should only be fearful of being dragged in a situation if you were part of the situation, you know? And that's what made weird to me. It's like, bro, like, no one was really out here thinking anything that you were really a part of it. Like, people knew, like, you were friends, I guess, at a certain point. But people didn't think you were part of this being your activism of being against child trafficking and stuff like that. Because he was literally part of a foundation, again, you know, of truly, like, I think it was an app/foundation of essentially protecting children from trafficking, catching people. Being proactive and, like, being so against this stuff. So, to be in close proximity with friends with someone, I would assume if you're part of that, you're probably not part of this. But, you know, when you already have his close relation with the actor that was on that 70s show, who's in prison for doing pretty bad shit and convicted. And the worst part of all that is one thing to be close in proximity from friendship and connections over the years. But when you apparently wrote a letter to the judge for leniency on this guy's sentence because of, quote unquote, his character of, you know, your idea of your perception of who he is as a person, regardless of these acts of, you know, this is not the person I know. I know deep down he's a good person, blah, blah. But when you have that public letter with your name attached, vouching for someone who was damning evidence of what he did while you're running an organization, or at least the speaker of it, the figure of it, he actually had to step down from the organization because of that. Because it was not a good look. Like, you can't be a leader of an organization supposed to be anti all this stuff. But even though the person's not really charged for that, it's in a similar realm of, you know, stuff. But apparently he's feared of being dragged into this. It's like, well, you should only be feared of being dragged into it is if you have a fear, if you have a reason to fear. I'm not saying he did or didn't do. I honestly don't believe he did, but then again, you never know these days. Because you know what? There's a lot of things we thought, and apparently there's a lot involved. J-Lo may be a part of it. Apparently she may have snuck a gun that may have led to a shooting at a club back in the day when they were, you know, Jenny from the block. More like a Jenny O ground turkey. Because she kind of looks like ground turkey now. still looks good, but you know. but yeah, I don't know. I just found that interesting. I just feel like he's, I guess he's hoping there's no strings attached. Huh? Get it? Movie? All right, never mind. But yep. It's kind of weird. He did a movie, No Strings Attached, with Natalie Portman, who's in a movie with his wife, Mila Kunis, Black Swan. I don't know. I bet that was an interesting set on Black Swan, because, you know, the movie No Strings Attached is basically a Friends with Benefits type of movie. Where, you know, are they really having sex? No. But still, you're being intimate on screen with someone. And then a year or two later, you're doing a movie with his wife, a.k.a. Meg Griffin. And I guess he is a family guy after all. Jesus. Yep-a-roo. But you know what? What the fuck do I know? Anyways, let's talk about some positive stuff. And by that, I mean I'm actually about to completely shit on something. Because, you know, I am very passionate about getting what you pay for. I don't think that's too much to ask. I understand inflation. I can understand getting less of something, but the quality increases. And that is not something I used to be a part of. I used to be the mass amount of food or the mass amount of what you get, the size of the item, what the item contributes to what you're hoping to get out of, should contribute to a price, right? And now these restaurants, they have really gotten comfortable of saying fuck you, right? And I'm gonna drop their name, because honestly, you serve me shit like this and charge me that bullshit, and they are not a mass corporation, but they're also not like a mom and pop place. So the place is called Teriyaki Box, but more like Terry Yucky. that was bad. But honestly, it is. You know how bad. So it's essentially a commercialized Chinese, Japanese takeout place. You know, typically your experience at a typical Chinese takeout place would be, hey, you pay $8, $9, or $10, you get a decent amount of beef or chicken, or rice and noodles, and a shit, it's very, maybe too drenched in sauce, but you know what, it's gonna at least be appetizing. You're not gonna have to worry about being dry, I can tell you that much. You go to this place though, what should have been a red flag, right? The setup they have, it kind of looked like a Subway counter. You couldn't necessarily see what they were cooking, but the size of it was like a Subway sandwich place. And like, you're cooking fried rice, chicken, beef. I heard no steam. There's absolutely no steam, which means they were not using any oils or water. I don't know how it's possible, but it was dry. Like, the whole place was just dry. And when, that should have been a red flag, but I wasn't thinking much, whatever. So I get some simple flavored honey sriracha chicken rice. My lady got some starter. She got like some shrimp stuff and seaweed salad. Didn't even know that was a thing. And you know what? I was like, you know what? It was a little pricey, but it was like, you know what? If it's like a, I'm thinking like, this is a, there's got to be something unique about this. Like, this shit. So I get my food, and it's in like kind of a small container, and I look like, eh, this seems a little skimpy, but whatever. I was like, you know what, Clint, be open-minded. It's not about the amount of food. Maybe the food tastes something that you are not going to get somewhere else. It's going to be a unique experience. So I get home, and I realize real quick, you know, you just look at something, and you're like, this is just depressing to look at. The chicken had the minimum amount of sauce to be considered any sauce on it. Like, it was so unsauced that there was no sauce even overflowing onto the rice. Like, it was like if you went to like Buffalo Wild Wings and they mixed the boneless chicken on the side, but you asked for light amount of sauce on it, and they put it in a separate container and then just threw it on top of whatever. That's what it felt like. And the chicken, if you even call it that, was so overcooked that it literally just felt like I was tasting like Long John Silver's crackle. You know, you ever like gotten like Long John Silver's and they just throw the extra fried crispy shit? It was so, it was such bullshit, right? That I was like, you know what bothers me the most? And I'm tired of these restaurants pretending like it's cool. It's like you guys go through a long process of putting this shit in a container, looking at it, and be like, yep, this is right. This is like what we should be serving. And my thing is like, I understand sometimes you have off days. Like maybe you had some old food and you threw some shit to me. I can understand that, except sometimes you could eat some and you realize, wow, they actually like, this is what they serve. Craziest part is people actually fucking go there, and I don't get it. And what bothers me is, as I watch like a lot of these food review channels, these people that go to random places, like, I don't watch Keith Lee, but he basically goes to cities, go there for a couple weeks, and has a bunch of local spots type of thing, and tries them out. The same with like another channel. All these people, they just do, they go to these places, they give their review of like local type of places, and then these places get mad when they're like, oh, you just served me some store-bought coleslaw, you just served me some store-bought collard greens, or, and I wish they would have served me some store-bought anything, because honestly, a store-bought lean cuisine would have been better than this. Like, that's how uninspired, like, I can, like, I don't understand how you can open a restaurant, be in charge of a restaurant. No one asked you to go in a massive amount of debt. I'm sorry. I don't understand how you could open a restaurant and serve dry-ass food. Like, if I come to a restaurant, your food should be something that would be really hard or really out of the way to make at home. I should not be able to make something in less time, and it'd be better than what the fuck you just served me. And we really need to start holding these restaurants accountable, these places accountable, for serving us bullshit for $13, $14, $15, and pretending that shit is cool. And we need to just be like, hey, like, it's nothing personal, but that shit you just served me was some bullshit. And you cannot tell me when you let this leave the kitchen and you looked at this shit, you didn't even like be like, hey, let's try to put some more sauce on it. You thought the amount of fucking chicken that I'm paying for, that shit was cool. You charged me $7 for a little pile of seaweed salad. And it was literally like the size of a cupcake. Like, this is the type of shit that you serve, charge the money you do, and like, that is cool. And honestly, it does, like, and you know, it's funny watching when you watch like these food channels and they're just sharing like, oh really, this is what I get, huh? Okay, like, it's funny to watch, but then when it happens to you, you're like, oh, like, I think honestly, YouTube and the food reviewing critic community, it gets sometimes like people are like, oh, you're just like shitting on a business. You don't have to eat there. But at the same time, it's not about whether I'm going to eat there again or not. It's the fact that people are comfortable serving bullshit, and the people who are in charge of these restaurants, you're telling me you have no sense of like decency. You have no sense of price relatively matching what you serve, of what you're serving. I can deal with inflation of price and getting the same amount of food that I got 2 months ago at the same place. As long as the food is at least the same, good or better, and it relatively like, hey, we understand the economy. We understand everything's going higher. I don't mind paying a few extra dollars than I paid a couple months ago. But when you start cutting corners, getting lazy about it, like, that's where that shit bothers me. And it should bother you. And we need to stop being cool with it as consumers. Like, I'm starting to get to that point. Maybe because I'm getting older, I'm starting to turn to my dad with some of this shit. Like, I might start driving back to these places and being like, no, like, you need to remake this, refund me, and, like, you know, eat some coochie while you're at it. Like, I mean, at least if I'm paying for some, some's got to not be dry in this bitch. Like, I don't understand how you can have a restaurant and serve uninspired food. I think that's what really, like, I can eat something and it not taste all that great, but they tried something. It seemed like it was a good idea. Like, it's simple. Like, it's sauce, chicken, fried rice. And somehow the fried rice tasted less rice than rice. Like, it literally just tasted like a pound, like grains. And I know rice is grains, but it literally tasted like dry, like, I didn't even know you could make rice that dry. I did not know you could make chicken that unappetizing. I didn't know you could put that much of nothing of sauce on it. And then have people pay extra depending on the sauce they get. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? And I'm starting to honestly, like, when I was younger, I think this is part of, like, when you get older, like, you really do start, like, this is just some bullshit. And it makes you not want to eat out. It makes you really not want to try anything different or new. Because once you find places you like and you know what you get, that's where, like, it's like, I just want to go somewhere, know what I'm going to get, come home, relax. And then the worst part is when you go somewhere, you try something different, you get bullshitted, and then you still have to cook after you just spent $40 on some bullshit. Like, I should not be spending $40 on something one night and have to cook 3 hours later. There is something wrong with that. I'm not asking you to fill up the plate. I'm not asking you to fucking give me all, you know, I'm not asking you to have, like, you know, you go, you see some of these places online that are really cheap and they just fill up these go plates. It's probably not a good sign. They might be feeding you some shit that's not what you think you're getting. But if you were going to skip me on some servings, you better make up for it in something. Like, if I walk out, if I can carry the bag with no struggle after paying $37, you have done some bullshit to me. That's when I knew I fucked up, right? Like, it's fucking rice. Rice is so goddamn cheap, and somehow you're going to find a way to skimp on that. Like, it's, I don't know, man. The older I get, the more I'm just like, fuck these places. And I'm starting to get to a point with some of these places where I'm, like, in the moment, I'm going to start looking at this shit and be like, you really charge, I'm going to pull, you charge me $16 for this. You're telling me $16 equates to this. I'm starting to get to that point where I'm not giving a fuck. Because if you're not going to give a fuck, I'm not going to give a fuck about how you feel about how much I don't give a fuck. Because you don't give a fuck, and it shows you don't give a fuck, because look at this fuck you just gave me. Like, fuck. Like, there's no, like, there is a, I know as humans, we are all different in some ways, but we all have a similar grasp of what is appropriate for what we're putting our resources in. I don't care how much money you make. There's a irrationale based off history of certain foods typically equate to a certain price range. And typically, there's a standard of what you get for these certain foods, certain price ranges. And when you start, when something starts going awry and it's not making up for it in either flavor, quality, taste, or just at least a better presentation. Like, Jesus, like, when it just, like, when they know they could bullshit you, then that's when we, as people, you know, we got to start putting these places down. And I'm not for shoving places down and shit like that, but we got to start holding these places accountable. It really is that simple. Like, you know, people want to bitch about the minimum wage, and that's fine. Like, oh, like, people are freaking out in California that In-N-Out raised their prices a few dollars. It's like, I mean, you know, the issue, at least you know from In-N-Out what you're getting. Now, like, by the end of the day, if something becomes too egregiously priced, you just don't fucking go there. It really is not that hard. Like, that's the part where it's like people get mad about this shit. It really is not that hard to just be like, you know what? This just, I don't believe in buying this shit anymore. I don't believe in what you're doing, so I'm not going to go here. The biggest way you could just say fuck you is just by not going there. Because obviously they're going to have to reevaluate what the fuck's going on. But at the very least, just don't serve any dry food. It really is not that hard. Like, if I can cook at home and make the most oily, unhealthy, greasy-ass food, then you can do the same, you know? I just can't deal with people or things that don't try. Like, if you are in charge of a business, whether you're a manager or an owner, like, I don't understand how you would go through all that effort, spend hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars just to open up, to start up, invest, like, have your whole livelihood into something and not give a shit. Like, that shit is crazy. At the very least, give a shit. Because if you don't give a shit and it goes down the drain, like, you're fucked financially. Like, file for bankruptcy, you know, can't, your credit score is fucked. Like, everything's just fucked. At the very least, give a shit on that end. But, you know, us Americans, we really are that fucking stupid, you know? We really are. And make your fucking menu readable. Jesus Christ, like, I was going there, and I looked online for the menu, and I was reading it, and I'm like, online it made more sense. I went up to the thing, like, what was that thing I was looking at? Like, literally, everything was, like, blurred. Like, it was one big blur of a fucking menu. I don't know. More like Bill Blur. it was all a blur, or it was just a dream. But yeah. Never again, you know. And I typically don't like to come out here and just shit on things. Well, that's not true. I like to shit on people. I don't like to shit on businesses. I'll just be like, I didn't like it. But you guys almost made me leave a fucking review. That's how much bullshit, you know. I can deal with a bad experience. Because a bad experience can be contributed to a lot of things. But just uninspired. Like, that shit pisses me the fuck off. Like, have some dignity of you're taking people's money. Like, Jesus. Or at least just put a big sign. We are dry around here. You know? I guess they are appealing to the Caucasian. You know, that's my, you know, my girlfriend. She was like, you know, they really did make this place for the Caucasians. And I'm like, eh. Well, you know. I think even us Caucasians are looking at this like, hey, you guys took it a little too far here, you know? you know, we like some pretty tame and bland places, but Jesus Christ, you know? But yeah, I don't know. Teriyaki box, go shit on them. I know it sounds like a dickhead, but you know what? You know what you're doing, you know? It's like when someone says, it's like when someone runs from the cops and then, like, you know, they come behind and slam them down. Like, why are you hurting me? You know, it's like, I mean, you kind of brought this on yourself, you know? But yeah, and pedophiles are the worst, by the way. Like, for some reason, when they get caught by police and you watch these videos of them getting, like, caught and stuff, they act like the biggest victims in the world, the biggest drama queens. And, like, it's like, oh no, you're hurting my leg. It's like, well, you know, work on your leg extensions and stay off the apps and eat some apps. But yeah, alright, I think I'm gonna wrap it up. I'm hungry, I got shit to do, not really, but, you know, I'm not as uninspired as Teriyaki Box, but, you know, they really, you know how bad I had to replenish myself and get real Chinese food tonight. Like, that's how bad you guys fucked up. I actually had to have Chinese food again, if that's what the fuck you want to call Teriyaki Box. I wouldn't even call them. They're a disgrace to humanity, to be honest. But I actually had to just cleanse my palate. I had to cleanse my mind just to make myself feel better, because I don't eat out that often. So when I do, I used to be a Chinese takeout fiend. Like, you know, to the point where I'll walk in and at multiple places, they'd be like, they would just say, all right, which combination pie do you want tonight? And it would be the same two or three that I would just rotate from, you know. That's how much of a indebted connection bond I have with Chinese. And so when I don't do that as much anymore, and I decide that, you know what, tonight's the night. It's like when you try to get a treat once in a while, and you look forward to it, and it's like, it's like if you look forward to something all day and for whatever reason it doesn't live up to the big, like, reward in your mind, like it's just not that great, or it was just like, oh, rain delay. Like, it's the same way, like, when I was younger for sports, I would be so sad when, like, our game, even a scrimmage or practice, like, I would legitimately be upset when it would be canceled because of rain or weather or whatever happened. Like, I would hate beginning that call, like, hey, you know, the game's canceled tonight. And, like, because I look forward all day to that. Like, it was something I look forward all day. I planned mentally, you know, what I was going to do, blah, blah, blah. And to be told and to be disappointed in that. And so I literally went, like, when you fuck up so bad, that I just had to have faith in, you know, the Chinese again. it's like, hey, I'm okay with you guys spying on me, you know, as long as you keep that extra pepper out of the General Tso and actually eat it, because, whew, that is some heat. But you know what? As like, I just had to redeem. I just had to, like, have faith again. Like, you know what, Clint? It's okay. It's all pipes. It's all fine. That's more of all that. Just go to real takeout places, you know. If they barely speak the language, or there's the only person that can speak the language is the one they have taking your order, then you're in the right spot. Yeah, the second they take your order, and all right, it'll be out in 10 minutes, and they go back and they just start speaking Mandarin or whatever the language is, that's when you know, like, ah, yes, it's about to be MSG City. And I'm not talking about Madison Square Garden. But yeah. All right. I'm going to stop talking now. All right. That was episode 273 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeet. As the kids say, yeet, yeet. All right, guys. Have a great day, morning, night, evening, and sunrise. I hate that term, sunny side egg. I don't know. It's so stupid. Like, I don't want the sun looking like an egg yolk. You know, I like it looking yolk, but I don't want to fucking... Oh, Jesus. All right, I just farted. Time to go.